And welcome to part two of the Speak Up Slackware Linux installation tutorial. We now rejoin our tutorial as we begin the actual setup process for Linux. So to start the actual setup process for Slackware, I just type the word setup and press enter.
SPTQP. Slackware Linux setup version 7.0.0. Welcome to Slackware Linux setup. Select an option below using the /down keys and space or enter. Alternate keys may also be used. And temp. Help read the Slackware setup help file key.
Okay, I'll stop that for just a moment and we'll go back and check these options
help
out here.
Help read the Slackware setup help file.
Help read the Slackware setup help file. That's a good option. If you just press enter here, you will start reading the help file. And that's the option you'll usually land on when you first enter this program. So, for example, if I press enter,
Slackware setup help, Slackware Linux help first, a little help on help. Whenever
and it starts reading the help file. And to go from page to page, you can either use your page down or the space bar, or page up key will go back. So, like if I press page down,
backward search and repeat last search for,
I go to the next page if I hit page up,
Slackware Linux help first, a little help.
And you can also use the various speak up review commands to look around at the help file. A lot of useful information in there. By all means, read it. Take the time out to read it. You're not rushed like we are in this tutorial. So, again, I'll press enter here on that because I want to get out of it.
Slackware Linux setup version 7.
Now I'm back at the main menu. The next option.
Help read. Keymap remap your keyboard if you're not using a US1.
Keymap. Remap your keyboard if you're not using a US1. We do not want to select this option, because this will take away all those nice screen review commands that we've gotten used to in SpeakUp, and that's not something you really want to do with a screen reader, especially if you're just getting used to it.
Add swap, set up your swap partitions.
Add swap, set up your swap partitions. This is where you tell the setup program where your swap partition is. Always a good thing to start out with.
Target, set up your target partitions.
Target, set up your target partitions. This is where you tell setup where you're actually going to install the Linux operating system and various things like that.
Source, select source media.
Source, select source media, that's obvious, where you're going to install from, say a CD-ROM or hard drive or floppies, although floppies only work for a couple of the package sets nowadays.
Select categories of software to install.
Select, this is where you select the categories of software that you want to install. You may want to install everything and leave off the X Windows system, the graphical user interface for Linux. Or maybe you want to not use the program development tools if you don't think you're going to do a lot of program development.
Install selected software.
This is where you go to actually do the install once you've selected everything.
Configure, reconfigure your Linux system.
Configure, this is where you go if you want to configure the system, set the time zone, various things like that.
Exit Slackware Linux setup.
And that's fairly obvious. Exit Slackware setup. Okay. We've gone through all the menu options. Again, when you first enter the program, you'll land on the help option. We want to go two choices down. We want to go past the keymap, remap, keyboard option and go straight to the add swap option. So I need to hit the down arrow twice.
Help read the slack. Keymap, remap your keyboard if you're not using AS1 add swap, set up your swap partitions.
Okay, there it is. Again, these menus, they read you the item that you are leaving first and the item that you landed on last. That's if you're using the down arrow. If you use the up arrow, they do exactly the opposite. Again, just like they were in the CF disk program. So I'm sitting on the option to add swap, and that's what I want to do, so I simply press enter here.
Swap space detected. Slackware setup has detected a swap partition. Device boot start and blocks ID system /dev/da2393408128528522 Linux swap. Do you wish to install this as your swap partition? Yes, no.
Okay, it wants to know if I want to use this as a swap partition, and it read us off the statistics about the swap partition. Everything sounds good, so I'm going to answer yes to this question. One thing about these yes-no dialogues, they are a little different. You'll notice that when you land on one of these, the Speak Up Review cursor will show you which letter you're on these particular dialogues. I guess they use the system cursor instead of some kind of highlighting mechanism. So my Speak Up Review cursor, reflecting my system cursor position, is on the Y and yes.
Why?
And that's usually where it'll be. If you want to change it to no, you can use the down arrow to go to no.
Yes, no.
And it'll say both of them.
Ten.
And now that my review cursor is on the N, I want to say yes, All you have to do here, too, is just press the letter Y. So I can just press Y.
Formatting.
And it says it's formatting. I silence the speech because when you're formatting a disk or something, it's always better to not have any speech running. That'll speed things up, and two, it'll talk your ears off if you don't silence the speech up. And this doesn't usually take very long. In fact, I think it's finished.
Edit.
Yeah, it's finished. Let's see what it says.
Swap space configured. Your swap space has been configured. This information will be added to your /etc/step/dev/da2swap/default00100% exit.
Okay, it's just telling me my swap space has been configured, and it will add the information to my /etc/fstab. That's a table in Linux that tells where your file systems are, what partitions of the hard drive they're on, various things like that. And that swap partition is also in there, so that's always a good thing to have around, and this program has already set that up for the swap partition. Now, when I press Enter, I won't go out to the main menu. Watch what happens.
Continue with installation. Now that you've set up your swap space, you may continue on with the installation. Otherwise, you'll be returned to the main menu. Would you like to continue the installation and set up your target drives? Yes, no?
Okay, it wants to know if I want to continue and set up my target drives. I actually do want to do that. And again, these yes-no dialogues, usually yes is the highlighted choice.
Why?
Yeah, there it is. So I just press Enter on that.
Select Linux installation partition. Please select a partition from the following list to use for your root /Linux partition. /dev/.3linux-native/3020220k/admin. Continue with setup. Admin.
Okay, we'll stop that for a moment. Let's take a closer look at this. Here is a list of the various Linux native partitions that the system has found that it can install Linux onto. In my case, I only have one, so there's only one on the list. But there's a bunch of none continue with the setup or something like that right below that. Let's take a look at that.
Please select a partition. /dev/.3linux-native.
Okay, there's the /dev/.hda3linux-native. That's what we want.
At none, continue with setup.
And it says none, continue with setup.
At none, continue.
And there's a lot of those. If there were more partitions, we would hear those right below the first one. So there's only one partition, it's the first option on the list, and that's usually what happens, is that it'll highlight the first option on the list. So usually you're safe in pressing Enter here, unless you have Linux installed on another partition in some other distribution, but in this case we only have the one, so we're safe.
Format partition /dev/.3. If this partition has not been formatted, you should format it. Note, this will erase all data on it. Would you like to format this partition? Format quick format with no bad block checking checks. Low format that checks for bad blocks. No, do not format this partition. Okay, cancel.
Okay, we've got three choices. Format the partition with no bad block checking. That's the fastest. And the next one below that is format with bad block checking, and it calls it the slow format option. And then there's no, don't format the partition. It'll just try to use it as it is, and if it's never been prepared before, you'll get all kinds of errors. So I want to format the partition, and I'm going to do the slow format just to be on the safe side, to do bad block checking. That's the second option. So I hit the down arrow once.
Format quick format with no bad block checking checks. Low format that checks for bad blocks.
Now I'm on the slow format option. I simply press Enter.
Select inode density 4/dev/.3x2fs/defaults to 1 inode per 4096 bytes of drive space. If you're going to have many small files on your drive, then you may need more inodes. One is used for each file entry. You can change the density to 1 inode per 2048 bytes, or even per 1024 bytes. Select 2048 or 1024, or just hit Enter to accept the default of 4096 bytes. Note, if you are going to run from CD using a small 60 MB partition, use 1024 to be safe. Each link uses an inode and it's easy to run out of space. 4096, 1 inode per 4096 bytes. Default 2048.
Okay, we'll stop that. It's just giving us a menu with those various options. We can have 1 inode per 4096 bytes. I think that's about the same as Windows FAT32, but I'm not certain. But that's the default option, and if you've never done this before, and if you have a big enough partition, which in this case I have one, it's simply safe to go ahead and hit Enter on this.
Formatting.
And it's formatting, and I will silence my speech again so that it'll do this without all kinds of messages. It'll talk your ears off, as I said before. And we'll come back when that has finished. Okay, and it seems to have finished. Everything's quiet over here. I just left the computer and went and did something else for a while and just let it do its thing. So let's see what's on the screen here.
Done adding Linux partitions to /x/step. Adding this information to your /x/step. /dev/.3/x2defaults 111% exit.
Okay, so it's done adding the Linux partition to my /etc/fstab file, and it's just letting me know what information it put in there. And so I'm finished with formatting. I simply press enter to go on to the next step.
/fat32/hdfs/partitions/detected/partitions of type FAT or FAT32 commonly used by DOS and Windows or of type HDFS used by OS/2 have been found on your system. Would you like to add these partitions to your /x/step so that these partitions are visible from Linux? Yes, no.
And it noticed that I had DOS partitions, actually the Win98 partition, a FAT32 partition, and it wants to know if I want to add this to my /etc/fstab so that I can have access to it while I'm in Linux. That's a kind of a nice thing. When you're in Linux, you want to go get a file that's in your DOS partition, you can just access it. And the default is yes, so I'm going to press enter and accept that because I do want to be able to get to my DOS partitions.
Select partition to add to /x/step. In order to make these partitions visible from Linux, we need to add them to your /x/step. Please pick a partition to add to /x/step or select to continue with the installation process. /dev/.1win9x/fat32 3,148,000.
And I'll just stop that. Again, this is a menu, and we'll go up here and look at it. There's only one option that we need to really worry about here.
/dev/.1win9x/fat32.
There's the Win95 partition, or Win98 actually in my case.
Done. Continue with setup.
Now, if I wanted to continue with setup and not do this, I could just down arrow once and I'd be on done. Continue with setup.
Done. Continue with setup.
And that's down there again for some reason. I'm not sure why they do it that way. But the top one is the one I want, and that's what I've highlighted. So I simply press enter.
Pick mount point for /dev/.1. Now this partition must be mounted somewhere in your directory tree. Please enter the directory under which you would like to put it. For instance, you might want to enter /fatc or /fatd or something similar. Note, this partition won't actually be mounted until you reboot. Where would you like to mount /dev/.1? Okay, cancel.
Okay, it wants to know where I want it. And in DOS, you've been accustomed to accessing a different hard drive or partition with a drive letter, like D colon or E colon or whatever. In Linux, you actually have to mount the partition, and it's asking me where I want this partition. I can put it in a directory on my system, and then all I have to do is CD over to that directory, and I'm in my DOS partition. So I access it just like all the files on my file system anywhere else. So all I have to do here is tell it what directory. I'm going to pick one of the suggestions, /fat-c. And you can use /DOS or whatever you want to use. So all I have to do is type /fat-c here.
/fat-c.
And then press enter.
Done adding /fat32/hdfs/partitions. Adding this information to your /x/step. /dev/.1/fatc/fat defaults 101% exit.
And it's finished adding the FAT32 partition to my /etc/fstab file. And I'm finished with that and ready to go to the next step, so I just press enter.
Continue. Now that you've set up your target partitions, would you like to go onto the source section and select your installation media? Yes, no.
Okay, it wants to know now that I'm finished with that, do I want to go on to select the source media? Yes, I do. So I press enter on that since yes is the default.
Source media selection. Where do you plan to install Slackware Linux from? One, install from a Slackware CD-ROM to install from a...
Okay, let me just stop that. That's another menu and there's several options on there.
One, install from a Slackware CD-ROM.
That's the first one, install from a Slackware CD-ROM.
Two, install from a hard drive partition.
And install from a hard drive partition. If you've downloaded Slackware, you can install from any of your hard drive partitions if they're accessible.
Reinstall via NFS.
And that's if you're installing Linux via NFS, Network File System. If you have a network server that's got your Linux installation, you could use that option.
For install from a pre-mounted directory.
Install from a pre-mounted directory. If you've already mounted the stuff somewhere else before you started setup, you can install that way.
5. Install from floppy disks A and N series only.
And 5 is install from floppy disks A and N series only. Most of these packages won't fit on floppies anymore, but there are a couple of series that still fit on floppy disks, although you'll have quite a few disks. And that's the last option. The first option is the CD-ROM option, and these options are numbered, and you can actually hit the number of the option, and it'll jump to that option and highlight it. In this case, though, option 1 is the default, and that's the one we want to install from a CD-ROM.
Scan for CD-ROM Bright. Would you like to have setup scan for your Bright automatically recommended, or would you like to choose your CD-ROM Bright manually from a list of devices? Auto scan for the CD-ROM Bright automatically manual menu.
Okay, let me stop that again. That's another menu, and it wants to know if I want to scan for the CD-ROM.
Auto scan for the CD-ROM Bright automatically.
That's the first choice.
Manually select CD-ROM device.
And the next choice is manually select CD-ROM device. And I'm going to go ahead and auto-scan. It doesn't seem to mind.
Place disk in CD-ROM Drive. Make sure the Slackware CD-ROM is in your CD-ROM Drive, and then press Enter to begin the scanning process. Okay.
Alright, it wants the Slackware CD-ROM to be in the CD-ROM Drive. That's fairly obvious, I guess. And I've got my Slackware CD here, and so I'm just going to place it in the CD-ROM Drive. Give it just a couple of seconds so it'll spin up and everything. And then I simply press Enter.
Scanning, /CD-ROM Bright containing a Slackware CD-ROM. Choose installation type. Although it's not generally recommended for performance and upgradability reasons, you can run most of the Linux system from the Slackware CD-ROM if you're short of Bright space or if you just want to test Linux without going through a complete installation. Most people will want to select Slackware, the normal installation method. If you're new to this, you might want to read the help file before you make your selection. Which option would you like, Slackware normal installation to hard drive?
Okay, I silenced that, and we've got another menu of options here, and I'll just run through a couple of them here.
Slack display, Slackware normal installation to hard drive best performance.
That's the first option, Slackware normal installation to a hard drive. That installs your system to the hard drive partition that we've already set up, and that's the one we'll be using.
Slack test link /usr/cd-rom/lib/usr to run mostly from CD.
Slack test, that will actually let you run a lot of the Linux system from a CD and still have a very small partition. But again, you have to have the CD-ROM installed in there, and you have to have it at all times when you're running Linux. You couldn't take it out or anything like that. So not the best option unless you're just testing the system out. In this case, I'm going to select the first option. There are other options, including read the help file, and by all means, explore those on your own. Do it at your own pace and read the help file, because there's some useful information in there as well. In this case, I'm going to simply press Enter.
Continue. Now that you've selected your source media, you may proceed to the Select section and choose which categories of software to install. In the old days, these were called disk sets. Would you like to go on to the Select section now? Yes, no.
Okay, it wants to know if I want to go to the section where I select my software packages to install. Yes, I do. And yes is the default option, so I simply press Enter.
Package series selection. Now it's time to select which general categories of software to install on your system. Use the spacebar to select or unselect the software you wish to install. You can use the up and down arrows to see all the possible choices. Recommended choices have been pre-selected. Press the Enter key when you are finished. Exabase Linux.
Okay, I'll stop that. We'll look briefly at this.
Enter key when you...
Okay, now I'm up at the very top of the selection list, and every package that it's going to install has an X in front of it. For example, A, the base Linux system.
X, a base Linux system.
That is selected by default, and you do want that. That's the base Linux system that's just enough to get you up and running.
X, app, various applications that do not need X.
X, applications, various applications that do not need X. That's selected also for you.
XD, program development, C, Lisp, Perl, etc.
And that's the D, program development series. That has an X in front of it, as you can tell. All of the package series are selected by default, so you don't really have to do anything here if you want to install everything. If you do want to deselect certain things like the X window system, maybe something like that, use your up and down arrow keys to go down the list. You may end up scrolling several screens when you do that because there's a long list of packages. So the speak up review commands are very important here. Be sure and use those review commands. Make sure the X is in front of whatever you want and that you don't have an X in front of the things that you don't want. And the X is in brackets, I believe. Let me just check.
Left parent C, comma, D, program D, left bracket X, right bracket.
Yeah, there it is.
D.
Yeah, that's the name of the package, the D series, and right in front of that you have the left bracket.
Left bracket X, right bracket
X. So everything's selected, and I'm going to select the default option by just pressing enter. That installs everything.
Continue. Now that you've decided what you want to install, you may begin the installation process by moving to the install section. Please note that if you have not completed all the prerequisites, you will be informed of this and returned to the main menu. Would you like to go on to the install section? Yes, no.
Okay, and that's reminding me that it's time to go on to the install process, and if I don't have all my prerequisites completed, it'll return me to the main menu. But everything looks good. I'm going to go ahead and select the default option of yes by simply pressing enter.
Select prompting mode. Now you must select the type of prompts you'd like to see during the installation process. If you have the drive space, the full option is quick, easy, and by far the most foolproof choice. The newbie mode provides the most information but is much more time-consuming, presenting the packages one by one than the menu-based choices. Otherwise, you can pick packages from menus using expert or menu mode. Which type of prompting would you like to use? Will install everything up to 990.
Okay, we'll silence that and look back at these options a little more in detail. This is a menu again.
X, new, full install.
Okay, the first option is full install.
Full install everything up to 996 MB of software.
And that installs everything up to 996 megabytes of software. And that is the easiest option. It doesn't prompt you, doesn't ask you any questions. It only tells you if some kind of an error occurs. It just selects the various default options.
Newbie, use verbose prompting and follow tag files.
Newbie, use verbose prompting and follow tag files. This will tell you about every package that it's installing and also give you a chance to decide whether or not to install the packages.
Menu, choose groups of packages from interactive menus.
Again, that does just exactly what it says, lets you install packages and gives you interactive menus to select various things.
Expert, choose individual packages from interactive menus.
Expert, choose individual packages from interactive menus. This goes even further down, and you choose the individual packages that you want to install. So, a lot of different options that you've got there. There are a couple others regarding tag files, which we don't really need to get into. And at the very bottom, there's a help file. I'm going to select the full mode where it doesn't prompt you for anything, it just goes ahead and does it, since that's the fastest option. Usually it takes about 6 or 7 minutes on my system. It's rather quick, far quicker than installing Windows 95 or Windows 98 in most cases. So all I do is press enter.
Full installation mode. Installing all software packages without prompting. Installing package series A. Auto-installing package add a base priority, required.
Okay, I'll silence that. It's going to tell me about all the packages that it's installing as it's doing it. I don't want to listen to all that. It'll talk my ears off, as I've said before, on some of these other options. But it's showing all this on the screen as it's going by. And again, this takes about 6 or 7 minutes, so I will pause the tape recorder and come back when this is finished.
And we will have to pause until next week to hear the next exciting installment of Joe Norton's highly informative Slackware Linux tutorial. Before we leave that subject, though, I do need to make a correction. I have, over the last couple of weeks, given you an incorrect URL for the website. It's only slightly incorrect, but then if it's incorrect, it's incorrect, isn't it? You don't get the information you want. The full Slackware Linux tutorial is available from Joe in real audio format, and you can also find a link from the site to the Linux Speak Up page. The website to go to is, in fact, www.nortcom.org and not .com, as I had said over the last couple of weeks. www.nortcom.org, and thank you very much to those who wrote in to correct me, and thanks to Joe for allowing us to use this material.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
The time has come for us to log off for another week. On behalf of all the Main Menu team, I'm Jonathan Rosen, wishing you a pleasant week.